Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. That's page 993 in the Pew Bibles. Mark chapter 10, we'll read verses 32 through 34 and 46 through 52. Mark 10 at verse 32. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. The Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as a man on a mission. From the very beginning of his ministry, in chapter 1, we see a truly amazing man pouring himself into the work that the Father had given him to do. Chapter 1, he starts off preaching, teaching, healing, casting out demons. That chapter is conducted at a breathless pace. Chapter 2, we see him forgiving sins. Chapter 5, raising the dead. Chapter 6, feeding 5,000 people, and then immediately walking on water. As you go through the book, we see Jesus disclosing more and more of himself and his mission. And the more we see, the more we realize that we have here a unique person, not just a great man, not just a perfect man, but the Son of God himself. And now in chapter 10, it's getting near the end of his 3-year ministry, and Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem. Just as we just read. And he's bold and determined. It says in verse 32 that he's going before the disciples and that they are amazed and afraid. Jesus goes knowing fully what is going to happen to him. He's going to suffer unimaginably. And he strides forward to face it. From verse 1 of the chapter, we learn that Jesus has been down by the River Jordan, or perhaps on the far side of it. It's not entirely clear. And this incident occurs in Jericho, which is in the main city in the Jordan Valley. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, and to get to Jerusalem, he has to go through Jericho. and then head up the road towards Jerusalem. It's about 23 miles. This healing of Bartimaeus takes place as Jesus is leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. There are two players in this scene, two main players, Jesus and Bartimaeus. The account is quite uncomplicated and straightforward. So what we'll do is we'll just look at the two main players in this scene. Let's look first at Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, by the way, means son of Timaeus. Mark has put that in for Gentile readers. We'll observe three things about Bartimaeus here. First, that he was needy. Secondly, that he was full of faith. And thirdly, that he was bold and insistent. Needy, full of faith, bold and insistent. I think it's pretty obvious that he was needy. He was blind. He couldn't work. No means of support. Can only beg day after day by the side of the road. In those days, there was no welfare check, no social security disability check. There would have been no rescue mission, no soup kitchen. For the poorest in those days, it was worse than for the poorest even in our society. He didn't know on any given day whether or not he would eat. He was totally dependent on the goodwill of others. In short, he was desperately needy. But as the story demonstrates, he was also a man full of faith. This man had been driven to trust in God through his circumstances. There was no one else to provide for him. And as we see, he was a beggar but a true son of Israel. He looked to the God of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Like them, he was looking for the Messiah. Remember Simeon in the temple, who was eagerly looking for the consolation of Israel. Bartimaeus was like him. He was looking for the Messiah. And look at this man's faith. When he heard that Jesus was there, he called out, Son of David. That's the name for the Messiah. Son of David. He cried out because he knew that the Messiah was one who would deliver the needy. We sang a few minutes ago from Psalm 72, which describes the ministry of the Messiah. And Bartimaeus would have been familiar with this. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14, which we sang. He will deliver the needy when he cries for help, the afflicted also, and him who has no helper. He will have compassion on the poor and needy. And the lives of the needy he will save. He will rescue their life from oppression and violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight. He was needy. He was full of faith. And because he was needy and full of faith, he was bold and insistent. Bartimaeus didn't wait for Jesus to notice him. There's a huge crowd. Jesus is going by. How is he to get his attention? He cries out, it says. He was totally focused on the help he needed and bold to cry out to Jesus for it. And when the crowd told him to be quiet, he wouldn't shut up. It says that. Jesus stopped and said to call him. And you see again his boldness. There's no hesitation. It says he threw aside his cloak and rose and came to Jesus. And when Jesus asked him what he wanted him to do, again there was no hesitation. He says, Rabboni, which means my master, my great one. It's a stronger term than rabbi. He says, I want to regain my sight. He knew what he needed, what he wanted. He was full of faith in the Messiah And so he was bold and insistent. So we see Bartimaeus here, desperately needy, full of faith, bold and insistent. And of course, the other main player in this scene is Jesus. There's a lot we could say about Jesus, but let's draw out three things here, again, that we see about Jesus. First of all, we see that he was purposeful. Secondly, that he was responsive. And third, he was powerful. Purposeful, responsive, and powerful. Well, as we've already seen, Jesus is purposeful. He's striding towards the cross. There's a huge multitude with him. In fact, everywhere he went were huge crowds. He could have been distracted by popularity. But he was not vain or conceited. He was not a man pleaser. He said in John 4, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work." He knew what he was called to do as Messiah, and he was determined to do it. For our call to worship this morning, Tom Fisher read the words of Isaiah 61, which Jesus had taken back in Luke chapter 4 as a statement of purpose for his ministry. I invite you to look at that because you can see the ministry to Bartimaeus better when you look at it in the light of Luke 4. So let's please turn in your Bibles to that. Sorry, I don't have the page number here right now. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. This is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He had just completed his temptations. He's coming now to Galilee to begin his ministry. And this is what it says. "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" This is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is what he understood his calling from God to be. And this is what he did. And so because of this, throughout his ministry, Jesus was purposeful. He had a strong sense of what was important for him to do. To deliver the needy, as it says here in Luke 4. So when the crowd tried to silence Bartimaeus, Jesus would have none of it. That's not the only time. Remember when the mothers were bringing children to Christ, and the disciples were trying to shoo them away. Remember that. Jesus said, "Allow the little children to come to me. Do not forbid them." Jesus was caring for the weak and the helpless. Remember also the woman who poured ointment at Jesus' feet right at the end of his ministry. The disciples complained about this, waste of money and so on. Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has done this for my burial." Jesus knew what was important when others didn't. We see this again here with Bartimaeus. This leads on to the next point. Because Jesus was purposeful, because he understood his calling, He was responsive to need. Jesus had the cross before him. Despite that, he stopped, it says. It specifically says in the text that he stood still. And he said, "Call him here." Again, this is not the only time this sort of thing happens. You remember in Mark chapter 5, Jesus was on his way to the bedside of a very sick daughter of a synagogue ruler, Jairus. This little girl was dying, and this woman touched him, seeking healing. You remember that? And Jesus stopped, it says. In the middle of this huge crowd with an important thing before him, he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And then he stopped and ministered to this woman right there and then. Likewise here with Bartimaeus, Jesus is responsive. He doesn't just heal as he walks by. He stops. He calls for him. He interacts with Bartimaeus. "What do you want me to do for you?" he says. He elicits faith. Jesus is powerful and responsive. Jesus is purposeful and responsive. And finally, I think we see that he's powerful. It's very straightforward in the text. It just says he heals him. He heals with a word, and it happens immediately. It's one of Mark's favorite words. Jesus heals through faith. Not that faith itself heals, but Bartimaeus' faith is the vehicle by which Jesus heals this believing, trusting man. He looks to Jesus in faith, and through that faith, he receives his healing. And Jesus healed with a word. Just like Psalm 33, it says, this is speaking of the creation, it says, "He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Jesus spoke. Bartimaeus' blind eyes had no choice but to respond. They had to do what Jesus said, because he was the creator. That's amazing power. We're used to this because we read the Gospels and read the miracles. But we need to stand back and stand in awe of the power of Jesus. Stand in awe of his miracles. He spoke and it was done. And Bartimaeus was healed. So we see Jesus, purposeful, responsive, and powerful. We'll come back to Jesus again at the end. But first, a couple of points of application. First of all, on persistence in prayer. A question: how's your prayer life these days? Do you ever have trouble keeping at it? Look at Bartimaeus crying out boldly and persistently to Jesus. Is that the way you and I pray? Well, personally, sometimes. Not always. The devil will try to discourage you from keeping at it in prayer. You need God's help. You can't do it on your own. And recognize that God calls us to persistence in prayer, in crying out to him. And Jesus taught a particular parable in Luke 18 for the specific purpose of teaching persistence in prayer. I'd like to read that. If you could please turn in your Bible to Luke 18, the first 7 verses. Jesus made a point of giving us a particular parable with the specific goal of teaching us to persist. Luke 18, 1 through 7. "Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus speaks here of an unjust judge who has no care for righteousness or justice. He doesn't care. But because this widow is bothering him, but with her persistent requests, he says, okay, I'll give you what you want. And Jesus says, if the unjust judge will do that, how much more will God hear the prayers, the persistent prayers of his people who cry out to him? So we're really encouraged here to persist, to cry out as did Bartimaeus. What should you pray for? Well, like Bartimaeus, it's okay to cry out to God for your needs and the needs of those you know and love. But also, we're engaged in the work of the gospel here together as a congregation of God's people in New England. There's two verses in Isaiah 62 which really encourage us to pray persistently for the work of the gospel to flourish. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. If you ever have trouble keeping up praying for the work of the gospel, read this verse. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. It says, give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That's establishing till we see the gospel flourishing, till we see thousands brought to faith in Christ, societies changed, then Jerusalem will be a praise in the earth. Specifically, pray for this congregation. Pray for the Christ Reformed Presbyterian Church in Providence, our church plant there. Pray for the Berkshire Reformed Presbyterian Church. Pray for Brent and Meg England as Brent now seeks a call, and for wisdom for the members of the church there and the session as they look forward to the future and seek to plan. Pray for the gospel to advance and prosper in and through this congregation. Pray for the new outreach Bible study in East Boston. Pray for the sick people of our congregation, as Elder Fisher has already done this morning. God is able to heal through the faithful prayers of his people. Persistence in prayer brings results. God says in James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So, however your prayer life is, keep at it. God will hear your prayers. He will answer them. Secondly, on responsiveness. We saw Jesus being wonderfully responsive to Bartimaeus. As you go about the important work that God has given you to do, earning your daily bread, studying at school, raising a family, working in the church, whatever your important work is that God has given you to do, are you willing to be interrupted? That's not easy. Personally, I find it not easy at all. But that's what we're called to do. Jesus stopped here. He's got the cross before him, and he's striding towards it. And there's this beggar calling from the side of the road, and Jesus stopped and listened and said, "Bring him here." Even good activities like church activities can fill your time so much that you may not have time to help a neighbor or get to know a co-worker. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? The priest and Levite went by on the other side. Maybe they were doing something very important. Doesn't say they weren't doing the wrong things, but they weren't willing to stop and help somebody. So be willing to be interrupted and to give yourself to what God sends you on any given day. And finally, let's come back to Jesus. Let's let the camera zoom in on him, because he's really the central figure in this story. Sure, let's remember Bartimaeus. Faith, boldness, persistence. But above all, let us see Jesus as he's revealed in this passage. The glorious Messiah doing on earth what the Father called him to do. In the middle of a huge crowd, facing the cross, the God-man, the second person of the Trinity, stopped and listened to and loved and healed a beggar. Never has been anyone like Jesus. There never has been, and there never will be. He is literally without peer. This is the second person of the Trinity, humbling himself with the cross before him, humbling himself to heal a beggar. And on that cross that he was going to, he showed the full extent of his marvelous love for sinners, for spiritual beggars, such as you and me. And that's what we really are. We're middle class Americans and we're comfortable, but spiritually we're beggars. Everything, we have nothing to offer to God. And graciously he has loved us in Christ. Paul says it wonderfully, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was wondrous love indeed. As we reflect on this parable, this healing, may we be moved to love him more and more in return. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious God, we praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. Spiritual beggars as we are, you have loved us and granted us eternal life. We have nothing in our hands to bring, O Lord, but you have given us bountifully in him. And so we pray, O Lord, for increasing love in return, that our lives would be molded by your word, that we would bring forth good fruit, that we would persist in prayer as you enable us, that we would be responsive to needs,
and that you would use us for building your great kingdom in here in New England. Lord, we're weak, all of us, spiritually weak, physically weak, but there's great strength in you, and so we look to you for the grace and the strength. Hear us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.